next to hers. She leaned away and tried to sound light-hearted.
So, what is my surprise?
Oh, I can't tell you all of it, just that you must sit with me at the feast tomorrow. Then you must go with me to the marketplatz for the festival fires and dancing.
Must?
Rose stared him down. Lord Rupert placed his hand over his heart and sighed. Will you please accompany me tomorrow? He lowered his voice to a husky whisper. My dearest, sweetest, most beautiful Rose. An intense light glowed in his eyes. Yes. She gazed into his face until she realized she was staring at his lips and he was staring at hers.
What's this?
Rose jumped to her feet, a guilty, prickling sensation washing over her at seeing Frau Jerusha enter the room. She remembered the bracelet and stuck her hand behind her back.
Frau Jerusha, good morning. How are you this fine day?
Rose marvelled at Lord Rupert's calm greeting. Frau Jerusha's disapproval never ruffled his cool demeanour.
Well, I thank you.
Her voice sounded icy.
Although both Lady Asana and Lord Hamlin seemed to have changed their minds and now approved of Lord Rupert's attentions toward her, he certainly hadn't won Frau Jerusha over. Her arms full of yarrow root, she turned abruptly and disappeared into the storage room.
Lord Rupert leaned toward Rose and whispered,
I'll come for you at 10 o'clock in the morning for the feast.
He grabbed her hand and gave it a quick kiss. With a wink, he strode across the floor and out the door. She slipped off the bracelet and dropped it into her apron pocket. Rose woke early to attend the special St. John's Day service at the cathedral. Participating in the Midsummer Eve festivities always made her feel guilty unless she first went to church to celebrate John the Baptist. She stared at the new dress hanging in her room, the one she'd had made using the salary she was receiving as a healer's apprentice. It was damask, a beautiful shade of emerald green trimmed with a wide band of gold silk at the hem. More gold silk formed a feminine collar that widened at the shoulders. The sleeves were fitted, as was the bodice, and the skirt contained so much material she had to hold it up to walk. She longed to wear the new dress, but she put on her old crimson one instead. She would change later, before attending the feast at the castle. An hour later, Rose entered the Hagenheim Cathedral and waited for her eyes to adjust to the dim interior. Gradually, the flickering candles illuminated the long, high-ceilinged hall. She crossed herself and genuflected, facing the crucifix. Rose found her family members, who were kneeling in their usual spot, and bowed her head in prayer. A slight shuffling noise to her right caught her attention. She glanced up. Lord Rupert was coming toward her, quickly closing the gap between them. He knelt beside her, then winked. What was he doing here? Rarely did any of the Duke's family members come to the cathedral to worship. They attended their own chapel within the castle courtyard. Lord Rupert seemed determined to make his feelings for her known. She couldn't help thinking that if Lord Hamlin had the misfortune to fall in love with the woodcutter's daughter, he would be too proud to publicise it. No, he'd rather marry the daughter of a duke, someone of his own class. But why was she thinking about him? She mentally shoved him away. Lord Rupert moved a fraction closer and Rose smiled. Could it be true what Lord Hamlin said? Did Lord Rupert intend to marry her? From his behaviour, how could she doubt it? But whether he was in love with her or not, she shouldn't have accepted the bracelet from him. Frau Jerusha would be shocked at such a lapse. Her conscience pricked her. Rose tried to concentrate on the priest's words, but with Lord Rupert's tall frame looming so near, her mind wandered.